Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, great to see you all in the house of God. And as I said this morning, it's great to be back here with Pastor Rob and Denise. And, you know, this is a very, very strategic, it's a well-known house. It's a very significant house. And I get to travel around quite a bit. I was in Sydney last weekend. I'll be down with Pastor David in Wayala next weekend. Yeah. And yeah, that's it. Yeah. And I do get to visit some places, and the following weekend I'll be in Esperance. So lovely, lovely churches. But I want to say this house is carrying an exceeding weight of glory. This house is carrying something very strategic. And the other thing I want to say that I celebrate with you is that I do get to, see what God has done through people that have been raised up in this house. Because the Lord told me this was a seedbed of ministry. This is a seedbed for the callings of God. And down ministering in with Ben Natoko, Ben and Trish down there at King's, and speaking out at Ipswich with Kat and Tim, and even at Church Unlimited with James and Paula and different ones. When you see the quality of people that have been raised up and seeing Pastor Kane and different ones that maybe not have even been raised up here, like Pastor Sue and Wayne and the ministry, God's attracting people with ministry callings upon their life, because this has got a significant calling to raise up and release people into the fullness of their destiny. And it's great to see Alyssa here tonight, and I'm celebrating the blessing that's coming, you know, celebrate. I was often thinking, gosh, Lord, Cain hasn't got anyone in his life, you know, and then I come and I go, wow, surprise, that's brilliant. So God is good, amen. In fact, I just want to pray a prayer tonight. Father, I thank you for those that are single, those that are desiring to be wed, they're desiring for that life's partner, that husband, that wife to come along. Father, I ask for a Shiloh anointing. I ask for an anointing of supernatural divine connections. And Lord, faith calls those things that be not as though they already are. We call forth those ones. For you said, Lord, it's not good for a man or woman to be alone. You created us to live and to celebrate life in wedded bliss. So Lord, I just pray right now for a supernatural release. Lord, let it rain down men and women in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Shiloh was where the Benjamites had sadly not been able to find wives. So they threw a big party and they said all the what's left, they nearly were extinct, the Benjamites, because of war. They said, we're going to have this big party at Shiloh and you can just run in. And it's a big, long story, but that actually got cranky with them. They said, you're not having any of our wives to marry. So this whole tribe was nearly extinct. So they had to get around the fact that they'd made this rash vow that you're not going to marry any of our women. And so they said, we're going to throw a big party and we're not going to look. And if the whole mob of you rush in and grab a woman and leave, then we haven't broken our vow. And so that's the Shiloh anointing. So praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Wow. Praise God. Well, I've got a word on my heart tonight. Thank you, Cain, for those wonderful, kind words. And I just do want to say thank God for Pastor Rob and Denise. Just absolute stable, strong man of faith. And I was praying and seeing you, the word admiral is where we get the word, apostolic and admiral are quite connected. And I've seen you, in charge of a battle cruiser, but I saw it changing to a sailing vessel, an ocean-going sailing vessel. And the winds of the Holy Spirit breakthrough and Holy Spirit change are coming. And I see you with that eyeglass, and God is releasing a fresh vision, even of Holy Ghost revival, and the things that have been burning in your heart. I feel an excitement about what God is doing right now. he's doing right now. And as I said this morning, I feel like he's saying it's unstoppable. It's like when a momentum of a train starts rolling forward and it just gets faster and faster. So I'm excited about what's happening in this house. But a number of visits ago, I spoke on the spirit of adoption. And I want to speak on the spirit of adoption part two. And I shared about the revelation of adoption because my daughter, my middle girl, had waited many years to have children, and she went down the IVF track for three times actually, and a number of years. And then when they decided to apply for adoption and to an orphanage in Taipei, then there was couple of years of waiting. And in fact, when they were finally matched with Ejan, and they decided to call Jack. So they couldn't give his Taiwanese name as a second name because he would have been Jack Ejan. And so so he's Jack Kane Ejan, because Kane's his dad's name. And I had a dream when she went over to, they went over to collect him. The dream I had was when she came back, she had a 12-year-old boy and she was trying to carry him on her hip and have the baby experience, and it was very awkward. And I thought, Lord, what a strange dream. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, in the coming of this 2-year-old, I'm going to give her back the 10 years she waited because of the joy. And so I saw the miracle of adoption, and I saw this little guy come, you know, not even aware that there's people on the other side of the world that have been preparing, that have been talking about him, that have been looking at his picture, that have been buying up presents and things for him. And even when my daughter and husband went to visit him in the orphanage in that place, and they bring them into a room to, you know, start to get them familiar with this couple that is going to come back after the process of papers go through in a few months' time and pick him up. So you have two visits normally. And as they bring this little guy in, and he's just, you know, he knows his normal life. And so they're trying to coax him into seeing that that they're wanting to engage with him. And he's sort of looking a bit suspiciously. And my daughter starts just, she said, I decided to speak over him in English. And she said, you don't know this yet, but you're going to be our little boy. And we're going to take you to a place, a wonderful place called Australia. And we're going to love you like there's no tomorrow. And we're going to be your forever mummy and your forever daddy. And he's just there, and he's, you know, after about 45 minutes, puts his little backpack on, and he goes and puts his hat on and stands by the door because he's an orphan. He knows the drill. He'll be taken back. And God breaks that orphan thinking. The Bible says, as many as received him, he gives the power to become a son or daughter of the living God. And it's complete, it's eternal, it's forever, and it's because of his great love. And sometimes when we're hearing these scriptures, Pastor Rob speaking about how much God loves us, and Pastor Kane speaking about the love of God, sometimes we're like that little Jack at that time, just over our heads. And we're because of our experiences in life, and God is wanting us to be saturated in his love, to sit in that revelation, to accept that you're accepted, to dwell in the love of God until it actually becomes your identity, that I am loved. And we knew that Jack was starting to really settle in when he was learning English and our names, and we were sitting around the dinner table one night. They'd come over for dinner, and he was saying, you know, granddad and nai-nai and mummy. When he got to himself, he said, mummy's baby. Mummy's baby. You're the father's child, the father's beloved, the object of his affection, that he has waited 2,000 years, not 10 years, 2,000 years to have a family. And so that whole understanding of adoption is so amazing in the Bible. But I want to give you the other side of the word adoption, because literally adoption, as I was explaining, is more about being born again and being gathered into the family of God. But the actual word adoption is weothesis, and it means the placement of a mature son. And it actually was a picture that in the Hebraic culture, that they would adopt their own children at a certain age. They would say, this child is now a mature son and will operate in all the authority and the inheritance and everything of the father's house. Amen? It says in Galatians that a child, while he is yet a child, just doesn't differ from a slave, even, and that's a house domestic, a loved slave, a kind, you know, person, that they are not accessing inheritance, even though they're lord of all, because they're a technon. That means a child by reason of birth. And so there's a stage of maturity that God takes us into, so He can place us. I was speaking about God putting us in new places, new realms of promotion God wants to bring. And even in the story of the prodigal son, if you wanted to look up the Greek there, where the prodigal, you know, goes off and squanders all the inheritance, and he comes back, and the older brother is out in the field, and he is meant to be a mature son, but when he comes in sulking because the other brother has been forgiven and let off the hook and, you know, celebrated, and he's actually saying, "You didn't even throw a party. I didn't even get a party for..." It's interesting, he said, "me and my friends." He didn't say, "party with you, Father." He said, "party with my friends." And the father says, "My son, everything I have was available to you." That word is my child, an immature son. And so there are realms that God wants to take us into. He wants to promote you and I. He wants to give us the promotion, the breakthroughs, the things that he wants to do in our life. But it allows us to be tested. And tests come from God because He loves us and He wants us to step into the things He has for us. I absolutely love my grandchildren, and now I'm going through the throes of seeing them get their licenses. And Lily, the eldest one, she got her license and she's off and you know, doing well now. But now the 16-year-old is turning 17. And so she's going for her license. But I thank God that she doesn't get a policeman like I did, who, when I got my motorbike license at Redcliffe, yeah, he got old Redcliffe, that he went in to apply, and he said, he stood at the door of the police station, he said, "Okay, get on your bike and ride to the corner, turn around, if you don't fall off, I'll give you a license." That were the good old days. And I hope my granddaughter Mia has a very strict instructor. You know, that if she jumps the curb and almost hits something, he doesn't say, "Oh, you'll be right." That he has to do it right, because her life depends on her running, you know, driving according to the road rules. And the Bible says, run in a race in such a way so that you can earn the crown. I know I've shared this before, but I love the story of Rosie Roos, who was in the Boston Marathons and in the 1980s. You can look her up on Google. And there's all these thousands of men and women running in the Boston Marathon, and they didn't have the cameras and that we have today. And so as the runner's coming in, the first man, and then this lady, Rosie Roos, comes running in, and she gets the medal for the first of the women coming in. And then after a while, one of the adjudicators said, "You know, she wasn't sweating very much." And then another person said, "Look, I was at the, you know, the place where they get the water, and I didn't see her come through." And then someone else actually said, "I saw her on the bus." True story. So she started running, and she must have snuck through the crowd, caught the bus, got off near the finish line, and she was most upset when they took the medal off her. And there are all sorts of jokes saying they've got a new brand of sneakers called the Rosie Roos, like airwalkers. Didn't feel like I was running at all. And she's probably more famous than whoever did win it. But we laugh at that. But I want to say, stop getting on the bus. If we want to step into what God has for us, we have to run the race in such a way And we're not competing with each other. We're competing for our personal best. Amen? That we should be growing stronger this year than we were 5 years ago. It's wonderful when you're a lady and someone comes up and says, you haven't changed in 20 years. Layers and layers of makeup. But if you're a Christian and someone says, you haven't changed in 20 years. I tell you what, you don't want to hear that. Amen? And God's wanting us to grow up. He wants to place us as mature sons. He wants to place you in those places that he's prepared for you. So I want to just look at three tests. I'm going to keep it short tonight. But I really want to touch on these three tests and look at the three mighty men that fulfilled incredible destiny. And the tests that they went through, tests are from God for the purpose of promotion. And the test that Mia will eventually go for is because we love her, not because we're mean. In the world's book of heroic failures, the biggest number of tests someone went through was, the record is 47 times someone went for their license. You've got to give them, stamina sticking in there. But anyway, we're going to look at somebody called Benaiah, and I want us to turn to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 11. And I'm just going to refer to these briefly. Kings Chronicles. First Chronicles 11. And it's talking about David's mighty men. And it's talking about he had the three chiefs, joint chiefs of staff, then he had the 30, and then he had his royal guard. And so we're looking at a guy called Benaiah in verse 22. And it says, now Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada. The word Benaiah means God has built. And that's what we want. We want a life that God has built. Amen? God has built. And Jehoiada means God knows. So God knows the plan he has for you, and he is building our lives. And he's allowing us to go through some tests so he can promote us. So it says there that he was the son of a valiant man, and he did many deeds. He killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. Now, the translation there is in, it actually could, also says it could be two lion-like platoons of men. So depending on what translation and what Hebrew you're looking up. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. He killed an Egyptian, a huge man that had a spear as big as a weaver's beam. He was nearly as big as Goliath. He went down, wrestled the staff out of him and killed that enemy. These things Benaiah did, and he won a name amongst the three mighty men. Indeed, he was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three. So it would seem like, well, yeah, I've got this promotion, and this is what God is doing in my life. What's that lion in a pit on a snowy day? That's a difficult day when you're wrestling a problem and you're facing something that's difficult, and we're standing in faith. We're believing God for a miracle. I was talking this morning about how my son, through a crisis in his marriage, but anyway, he came back to the Lord after 25 years of being away from God, and totally gave his life back to Jesus Christ. He's followed through amazingly. But the thing also was, as a builder, he had a couple of ladies who were the bookkeepers, and they were really hopeless. God bless them. But anyway, there was lots of issues with tax, and not only was things happening devastating for him, but he had a tax bill of $110,000. He had no money. They're a young couple just trying to make ends meet. And he's got this bill, he's got this. And it was like, it was just, that was a lion in a pit on a snowy day. As I worked, God, how are we going to help him? How are we going to see this through? And we went and had an appointment with a Christian accountant, a young guy. And even as this young accountant sat and prayed with my son and said, come on, we're going to believe for a breakthrough. And so, Jeff and I gave everything we could, and So as this accountant, Andrew, began to pray and contact the tax department, the first thing they did was they cancelled 20,000 of the debt. Straight up. Thank you, Jesus. Then as we're praying and, you know, as I said, pouring money in, whatever we could, then they cancelled another 30,000. And so, as I said, we were chipping away at it, and it was just, I'd lie in bed at night saying, God, help him, this is a miracle. You know, I remember as a single mum years ago, $100 was huge. To believe God for $100. Now it's $100,000. Now it's like a huge miracle we needed, and yet there was things happening, and they got down to an amazing level of $30,000. And so I was praying, and I rang. I said to Jeff, ring Andrew again and see if he can contact the tax department. And so Andrew prayed, we were praying, so he rang them again and he said this couple have given everything. They're a young family, they've got two girls, they have nothing left, they've given everything. Their parents have given everything. What can you do? And as we're praying and he's there on the phone, 15 minutes he waited, and the guy from the tax department comes back and he said, I've had a talk and we are now stamping that file with non-pursuit, and we've closed it off and it is finished. It is finished! Woo! And I want to say there is a miracle breakthrough of financial release in the house tonight. There is a breakthrough over finances, over provision. So, Father, right now, what you do for one, you'll do for anyone. Whether it's $100,000 or $200,000, whatever it is, Lord, I thank you, God, for breaking off of the spirit of poverty, a breaking off of lack. Thank you that you own a cattle on 1,000 hills. And we glorify your name in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That was a lion in a pit on a winter's day. I cried. The accountant actually put the phone on volume, you know, microphone. And as Jeff and I stood there, and he said, this is what they've said. This is what they've done. And you can look it up in a week's time, and it's zero balance. Zero balance. God is good, amen? God is good. And so sometimes when you're facing a lion in a pit on a snowy day, don't give away your Goliath. Because that testimony absolutely astounds me. When I think of certain things that I'm up against, I think, God, you just dealt with $110,000. You delivered my son. You healed his marriage. You turned it around. You can do anything. Amen? And it goes on to say that even though Benaiah became part of, you know, when David saw what an amazing man he was, he said, I want you as my bodyguard. I want you right beside me. But we see in the kingdom transition, as Solomon takes power, that Benaiah becomes head of all the armed forces of Israel. And God's looking for a person to promote, to lead a nation's armed forces. He looks for someone who will face a lion in a pit on a winter's day and stand fast and stand strong. Amen? That was a test of warfare. It actually says in the book of Judges that God deliberately left some Philistines in the land because there's a generation that had not yet learnt war. That there are some days when it's difficult to go on and it's just the devil in your face. You haven't done anything wrong, you've probably done something right. And when you do something right, you're not going to get a telegram from hell saying, we've had a meeting, we're just thrilled that you're doing so well and we're going to leave you alone. No, you go on, you know, hell's most wanted list right there. Praise God, he's overcome it all. And so the next test is the test of injustice. The test of injustice. Life's not fair. Get over it. And here's a God without injustice. And we know how Joseph went through so much contradiction. And we need to give God time to set the record straight. Because he is a God without injustice. And who knows, for the reason that you go through things is to position you and align you, just like Joseph, when he was in the pit. He was right aligned to go straight to the palace when it was the right time. And so God allows certain things to happen in our life. And Ecclesiastes chapter 7 talks about the better thans. Better to go to a funeral than to a party. Better to go, it says, better is the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. There are seven better thans that don't seem to add up, but God is a God without injustice. There was a story of a Mongolian farmer who lived on the border there of near China, and he actually black horse, and his son loved that horse. And one day the horse broke through the barrier and went over into enemy territory, and so the family, the neighbors were saying, "Well, that's rotten. That's bad news. It's bad news." And the farmer said, "How do you know it's bad news? Could be good news." And a few weeks later, that stallion came galloping back with a brilliant white mare right beside it. And so they corralled that horse, and everyone said, "Oh, this is fantastic. Great, great, good news." And he said, "How do you know it's good news? Could be bad news." He saw a few negative problems. But anyway, a little while later, the son's riding the horse to break it in, and he gets bucked off, and he breaks his leg. So everyone's going, "Oh, gosh, bad news." He said, "How do you know it's bad news? Could be good news." And sometime later, when war broke out, every young man in that village was conscripted except the Mongolian farmer's son, who had a broken leg, so he didn't perish with the others. I want to say, let God set the record straight. How do you know it's bad news? Could be good news. Could be great news, because he turns things around for his glory. And so I want you to see that the test of injustice oftentimes is to establish resilience. Because if we're easily offended, we're touchy-toey, and people have to tiptoe around you, you can't work alongside, you can't work too well with people that are like that. God wants us to be flexible. And even when you go through stuff, let it be like water off a duck's back. Water off a duck's back. And don't go bent out of shape and having a pity party. God had to heal me of self-pity. And you know when you've got self-pity, because a certain note when you say, "Why me?" It's like, "Why me? Why me? It's not fair." And so God delivered me of self-pity. And I needed to probably be in a situation bad enough till I heard that note in my voice. And I repented. I said, "Lord, I lay at the cross self-pity. I lay at the cross where I've blamed you. I lay at the cross where I've held this against you." And I say like Job did, "I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now I see you." And I shut up. I zip it. And sometimes God wants you to know that he's actually allowed you and I to go through things to deliver us from things that we weren't aware of. Amen? And we see Joseph, he came out into an amazing place because he got his attitude right. He got his heart right. And he actually said, "You might have meant it for evil. You might have thought bad news, but God meant it for good, to send me ahead to prepare for the nation." And so some trials aren't short. Some trials go through a period of time. I remember talking to a lady at church, and she was a little bit frustrated, and she had this wad of notes, study notes, and she was frustrated about the call of God. And she said, "When's God going to release me to teach all this study? I've just studied all this stuff, and I know a lot." And I was thinking, gosh, you need the wisdom of Solomon with this one. I said, "Lord, what do I say?" And I said, I know exactly when you'll be released to study, share all this study. And she said, when you don't need to ask that question. When you don't need to ask that question. When it's at my turn. You know, I remember when my little granddaughters that are now 18 and nearly 17, 16, and they were having birthday parties at different times, and when it was Mia's birthday, the younger one, they were probably about 5 and 7 or 4 and 6 or something. And anyway, the older one was pouting around the place because Mia was getting all the attention, all the presents. I'm not getting any presents. and kind of like carrying on like a pork chop and ridiculous, you know. And it's like, no, it's Mia's birthday. And so anyway, she got over it and she ended up having a good time. But somewhat down the track, it was Lily's birthday. And as I came to the birthday party at one of those play areas where, you can have their birthday party. And I was watching, Mia sitting, and she's so happy for Lily. Happy she was getting presents. Happy she was getting blessed. And she was gazing there, and I came alongside and I put a little present on her lap. She said, no, Nana, it's not my birthday. I said, I know, darling. This is just for you. And that's what God's like. When we're having a SPAC attack and we're upset and we're ticked off at the church and we're spitting the dummy, it's like God cannot reward that behavior. He resists the proud. Don't worry about people that are coming against you. I would rather every devil in hell come against me, but God pushing me back. God resisting the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, amen? And so these are tests because God wants to promote us. And the last test I want us to look at is the test of discouragement. And I want to just refer to, we're not even going to turn there, but the life of David. And we see that David went through trials and challenges, but he had to learn to manage his emotions. Manage his emotions because he was called to be king, but he wasn't acting like king in some situations. One time he actually said, what's the use? Surely in vain have I served you. Surely in vain have I done the right thing. And look how I'm being treated. And God had to deal with him in that situation because we have to manage our emotions, learn when not to speak. Sometimes silence speaks louder than any words. Amen. Jesus answered not a word to Pontius Pilate. That silence was loud. And so David goes through such a test of pressure because your ability to handle pressure and my ability to handle pressure will determine how much he can promote us into that next level, next situation he has for us. And there he is under pressure at Ziklag, and he could have dropped his bundle, got angry with God. He could have actually gave up and said, that's it, I'm out of here. And he would have aborted his destiny and God would have had to wait another 30 years to raise up a David. But he didn't. He stood, and the Bible says he found his strength in God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, God wants us to be self-watering, self-maintaining Christians. Amen? That we go to the living water, that we go to God. We know how to connect with God. And so he came into his best years. Benaiah came into his best years. Joseph came into his best years after coming through the test. And so I want to just share a dream as we come to a close. And God's able to take the worst day of your life, the worst circumstance, and turn it into the platform of your greatest blessing, your greatest success, as he did for David, as he did for Benaiah, as he did for Joseph. He's no respecter of persons. This prophetic guy that I really respect had a dream, and in this dream he boarded a plane, and on that plane he was looking for a seat, and there were no seats. He couldn't find a place. And he's looking around, and then in the dream the air hostess taps him on the shoulder, said, oh no, your seat's up here in business class. Your seat's up here in first class. And when he got up there, there was a whole group of seats of people just smiling and laughing. And I believe God wants to place people in the very best place he has for you and I. And there have been some tests, and some people have been in transition, the tension of transition. It does not yet appear what I will not be, but I know I'm going to be like him. And so what had to happen in those tests? Well, David had to repent of his attitude of blaming God. Joseph had to repent of pride, and because he knew that he was sticking it to his brothers when he said, I had a dream and I'm going to lord it over the lot of you. And he had to repent of those things. Benaiah had to face that lion on a snowy day and trust God. There were things that were tests to come through. And I believe that God loves us enough to test us. Pastor D just went through a reconstruction of her shoulder. And we're so glad the doctor passed the test, that he went through medical school. He didn't decide, I'm just going to get someone else to do my assignments and I'll get a pass and I'll get my doctor's certificate. No, we want someone who truly passed the test. And God is looking for people who walk through those situations saying, I know when he's tried me, I'm coming forth. I'm coming forth with gold. I'm coming forth with breakthrough and victory. And I believe tonight there are people, you're in transition, and God wants to place you. He wants to promote you. He wants to establish you. Can we stand right now? Thank you, Lord. There's a place of blessing he's going to put you in. There's a place of victory. There's a place of promotion. For promotion comes not from the east to the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. And you know, I watched when the eldest grandson, Jack, and when he came over from Taipei, and the first thing you do in Australia is get kids swimming lessons because there's so much water and pools around. And I saw that little boy, as Maddie took him to the swimming school, and he couldn't speak English, so he's just shaking his head going, no, I'm not getting in the water. I'm not, no, you know. I'm there in the waiting room with the window, and I am absolutely upset. I had to take all my patience to not run out there and grab that boy and take him home. But as he learnt over the next few weeks to do monkey, and as he learnt in 2 months, 3 months, to take a breath, Jack, and go to the bottom of the pool and pick up a toy. And now he's nearly 9, and he's so proud of himself because he's now gone up to Division 6. He's now into squad training, squad swimming at school, and he's so proud. He's so excited because he passed the test. And God wants you to know that the tests are from God for the purpose of promotion. Amen? So right now, there's some tests going on. There's some tests of attitudes. And just like young Lily, who's fabulous today, but she had to sort out her attitude. And God bless Mira, she had such a sweet attitude. And so right now, we just come around the cross of Jesus. Lord, we lay at the cross where we've not trusted you, that we felt we've been in a test, a situation way too long. But Lord, forgive us for our impatience. If we say, when you tried us, we're going to come forth with gold. Lord, we're not going to get on the bus. We're not going to just come to church now and then and say, God, I want your best. Lord, we're going to serve and honour you and put you first. We lay at the cross where we've fought with the lion on a winter's day and thought that you were being unfair. Well, why were you letting us go through those circumstances? If you love me, God, this is some of the questions we say. If you love me, God, why did you allow that? And he said, if you trust me, I'll bring you through. If you trust me, I'll bring you through. So, Father, we lay at the cross unbelief. We lay at the cross mistrust, doubt. We lay at the cross where we've blamed you. And we say, Lord, into your hands we commit our spirit. Into your hands we commit our future. Into your hands we commit every part of our life. You said, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands right now. For the Lord would say, know that I'm raising you up even to be a people that know their God and do great exploits. And so in the midst of the circumstances, I'm about to take you higher than you've ever been before. For the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty to save. And I'm in the midst of the circumstances. I'm in the midst of the test. I'm in the midst of the trial. I'm in the midst of that work situation. I'm in the midst of that marriage. I'm in the midst of that family situation. And God says, as you lay hold of me, as I'm laying hold of you, there's coming a great entwining. And even as Jacob wrestled all night, there's been some wrestling through some issues. And I'm releasing even that new identity, even that new name, Israel, one who prevails, one who breaks through, a prince with God. And as I promoted Jacob into Israel, God says, I'm promoting many of you into the high and holy calling that I've purposed for you before the foundation of the earth. So lift your vision and lean not to your own understanding, and do not consult your emotions to see whether this be so. Do not consult your circumstances, for I'm opening up a wide open and effectual door of opportunity and promotion. And God says that plane is about to take off, and I'm putting you in the first class. God says, what I have for you is actually OTT, over the top. And you're gonna be amazed and say, look what the Lord has done. For I'm releasing placements tonight. I'm releasing doors of opportunity. I'm releasing placements. And where you felt like you've been in between and the tension of transition, now God says, I place you in an established place. And I call you weothesios, the placement of a mature son, the placement of a mature daughter. So take your place right beside me, for we are going to be about the Father's business. We are going to be about the Father's business. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, and there's people here that don't know. And if you just want to put your hands down for 2 minutes, and if you would like to ask Jesus into your life, I thank God that someone told me about Jesus. I thank God that I had gotten into such a disappointed, depressed, sad life that I thought, yeah, if he loves me and he's got a plan and he's got a life for me, I'm going to give my life to him. And I thank God for that day that someone told me about Jesus. You might say, I'll take my chances. I want to say, no Jesus, no chance. He says, without him, he says, he came that none would perish, but all would come to eternal life. So if that's you, I just want you to slip up your hand till I see it, then I'm going to get you to put it down. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, darling. That's awesome. You can put it down. God bless you. That's wonderful. You can put it down. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else here tonight? Anyone else here? And maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. But tonight you can make a decision. You can be born again. If that's you, just one more time as I ask. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. If tonight you want to recommit your life to Christ, maybe there's been times in church and times out of church, and you're saying, Lord, I'm boots and all. I'm throwing my lot in with you, boots and all. If that's you tonight and you want to say, Lord, have my life. I'm in boots and all. Praise God. Well, we're going to pray a prayer together out loud with those two precious people that raised their hand, and I'd like you to come and see me after the meeting, and come and introduce yourself to Pastor Rob and Pastor Kane. But we're going to pray a prayer together out loud with these precious ones. Dear Lord Jesus, I open up the door of my life and I ask you to come in to be my Lord and be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I receive you now. And thank you, Jesus, that I'm born again. I'm a new person. And thank you, Lord, that you said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the miracles of change. People are going to find their place. They're going to walk through that door of promotion. They're going to come into a new place of prosperity, a new place of victory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be praying for people tonight and just keeping it short because we realize we've got families with kids going to school tomorrow. So I'm probably going to, you know, probably just take a minute with praying for people just to let you know in advance that it may be quite a bit shorter than what I normally go. I'm, you know, the everlasting epistle with some people. But anyway, praise God. I'm going to hand back to Pastor Kane. And God bless you. God bless you. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Faylene. Wonderful. Well, tonight, stay standing with us if you'd like to. Worship team are just going to play. If you want to join us for some worship and prayer, you're welcome to. But also, if you would like Pastor Faylene to pray with you.